message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
And a lot of awesome stories, a lot of encouraging stories. I really hope in any one of those stories that we heard, I hope that they began the start of really fortifying your faith. Now, one of those teachings, now you have to forgive me, but I've heard a lot of those stories because, of course, he's my dad. So I've heard a lot of those stories. And then I had to realize, but probably a lot of you hadn't heard those stories, so they were new to you. And that's great, because when I heard it, again, hearing it for many times, I came away from one of those stories really challenged by something. He shared in one of the passings about his violin teacher who was literally, physically crippled. Okay, physically a cripple. And yet, despite that, he was able to excel to a professional level in music that those who have no handicaps in their life will never reach. He touched the rarefied airs of the top of his gift, and yet he was a cripple. And I thought about that a little bit more carefully this week, and I said, isn't it interesting how circumstances can cripple us? Circumstances can cripple us, isn't it true? If you have a sudden spiritual, physical, or emotional turn in a circumstance, you can become crippled. You can stall out any momentum you have. Your week's going great and all of a sudden you get bad news. It can cripple you. You're going fine, your job's going good, and you get bad news. It cripples you. You're in a great relationship with somebody. Things are going great. You're in love and it's all wonderful and it's honeymoon everywhere. And then bad news, you emotionally get crippled. And here's something that the crippling effect has on us. The crippling effect takes your eyes, and what does it do with your eyes? Turns them inward. Right? You start looking at every single thing in you to try to figure out, how did this happen? What did I do? What did I say? What could I not say? And then here's what happens. When our eyes get in here, we miss what's going on around us. And if they get too far in, we miss what the kingdom is doing around us. I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, I have struggled so much, especially in this position, with people coming and going in my life. And over 7 years of people coming in, awesome people, good people, people who love Jesus, and some people who are just kind of on the journey. And I have struggled saying, why did they not stay? What could I have done different? What should I have said? If I had zigged when I should have zagged, if I had gone A when I did B. And I went through all of these things. And I'm going to tell you, it can cripple you as being a pastor. Because you'll meet a new person. Right? I'll meet someone new for the first time, and guess what will happen? I'll be like, well, I can't really invest in their life because, quite frankly, they'll probably be gone in a week. You know what that all is? That's me looking in. That's not me looking out. I'm not seeing the value of you, and I'm not seeing the value of the kingdom. So, I say that because I'm saying we can be crippled by circumstances. And then, can I be honest with you as well? In the past 2 months, Jeanette and I have faced an unprecedented emotional, physical, and spiritual series of challenges. We have never been in these seasons in our life, Jeanette and I. And I'm going to be really brutally honest with you by saying there were some days and we just did our very best to weather the storm. Have you been there? Okay. There were other days where we flat out crashed under the waves of the storm. We just were not even treading water. We were sinking. And it really wasn't until Friday of this week did we really figure out how to swim in a storm. I mean, we found ourselves crippled in a lot of ways, in completely difficult times. And yet all of it was pointing us toward a season of we had to trust and obey God in our time of need and help. And we had a lot of people praying for us, and a lot of people, you know, believing God in our circumstance, but we still had to turn to God. That's why it was so awesome what happened here in the Spirit, because that was just like a confirmation for me. I couldn't force that. That was a confirmation. Oh, just turn to God in the need. And God's been faithful. God's been faithful. But I also have come to appreciate my story, Jeanette's story, is not any different than your story. It's not. Perhaps right now you are in a season, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand for this. Perhaps right now you're in a season of a storm. Maybe you're getting ready to go into a storm, that you can see the horizon, it is getting dark, and man, the clouds are coming, and maybe you just got out of a storm and you're sitting there saying, what lesson do I need to learn out of that? What just happened? What can I grab hold of? Well, today's teaching is meant for you. Therefore, it's meant for all of us, because we're either in a storm, going into a storm, or coming out of a storm. And today's teaching is called A Bold God, A Bold Hero, and A Bold Stone. A bold God, a bold hero, and a bold stone. Now, scripturally speaking, we've been journeying through the life of Samuel, right? That's who we've been looking at for the past couple weeks. Samuel. He was a prophet. He was a judge. He was a man who lived in a difficult time. And throughout his life, he was being groomed to be a God hero for his age. Now, as we saw in this teaching series, what has been happening up to this point is ancient Israel has been an unfaithful lot. They have not been serving God, and for 20 years, they have done everything they could do not to be serving God. In fact, they were a people that when they most needed a leader, there was none to be found. But can I also tell you, when we say here today, 2014, we need a leader, we need someone to rise up, trust me, God is raising up someone. God is raising up someone. God is working behind the scenes that we do not see. Someone's being prepared for this time. Samuel is being prepared for his time. Now, I say that because of this. Suffering, opposition, 20 years, unfaithfulness, and yet through all of it, God is grooming a hero. Can I tell you? You may feel it's too late for you. How many of you have felt that before? I have done too much bad stuff for God to have any value in me. I'm putting my hand up as I have said that. Okay? I've gone too far, too long, in the wrong direction for God to use me. What may feel too late for us is seldom too late for God. Let me say it again. What may feel too late for you and your circumstance is seldom too late for God. Now, I will say this. We may enter into seasons of pains and arrows, of outrageous fortune, because we did not discern the times. Right? We didn't discern what was going on. We weren't living in His presence. We weren't looking for His glory. And so as a result, we got ourselves in a good, glorious mess. A sin trap that we had to climb out of, and we were praying. And then God gets us out of. But can I tell you, even on all of that, if you will go back to the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your being, He can redeem you and put you back to His glorious use. It's not too late for God. Don't give up, okay? Don't give up. Because here's the other thing I love about God. In His omnipotence, God knows all, doesn't He? Doesn't He? If you believe God's omnipotent, He knows all. And because He knows all, Scripture tells us what God does. God says, I have always prepared a way of escape for my people who will call on my name in a time of trouble and serve me alone as Lord. I will prepare a way of escape for you. Now, for those of you who journeyed with us last year through Revelation, you saw, as we worked through some really difficult areas of Scripture, God always prepares a way of escape for His faithful. And while the whole world might be spinning out of control, the faithful are being preserved. It's amazing how good and how long-reaching God is in action. Now, here's the point. I want to just grab something else here. Do you believe that you're a hero in the making? Maybe you don't. If you don't, that's okay. But I'm going to tell you, you very well could be. Who here believes they're a hero in the making? I do. I believe I'm a hero in the making. A God hero in the making. I believe I'm a God hero in the making. But can I tell you, if you believe you're a God hero in the making, I'm going to tell you what else God is trying to do in your life. He's trying to make a message through your life. It's not just to say, oh, I'm looking for a hero. Who wants to stand up? You? Okay, you. Go. If you're a God hero, I'm going to tell you something. God will give you a message from the throne room in season to speak to the season. Samuel was a God hero being prepared, but Samuel also had a message being prepared. You know what his message was? The message he spoke was the same message that has not lost its power or its potency throughout all the years. And here it is. It's a message that today speaks to us. It is time to serve the Lord, alone. That was Samuel's message. It wasn't, oh God, let's try this, let's do that, or God's anointed me to preach. God had anointed him to preach. God had positioned him to prophesy many things. But his message to Israel was, if you're returning back to the Lord, come back to him with all your heart, all your soul, all your being. It's time to come back to him alone. Now, let's bring this right to 2014. Guys, it's time for us to serve the Lord, alone. Alone. You need to get a reality of God, people. You really do. This I needed to. You need to get a reality of God. It's not a bad thing to humble yourself before God, to seek His face, to pray, to repent, to say, Lord, that in my time of desperation and need, I know if I would turn, pray, seek, and humble myself before you, your word says that you will hear from heaven, you will forgive my sin, and you will restore that which has been taken. It's time we get a reality of who God really is. As He is just and He is holy and He is righteous, He is merciful, He is grace-filled, and now this is where our message is going to come into. He is your Ebenezer. Now we sang, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and it says in that verse, what? My Ebenezer. How many of you even know what that means? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. What does it mean to say, here I raise my Ebenezer? What does that curious line in a hymn mean that we just sang? We're going to find out today. 1 Samuel 7:10-13. Let me read the scripture. Now, if you have your Bible, turn there. 1 Samuel 7:10-13. If you have your old school Bible, it's in your pages. If you have your new school Bible, it's in your app. Right? So go to either one. 1 Samuel 7:10-13, and I'm going to read this while you're turning there. Scripturally speaking, Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, and the Philistines came to fight against Israel. On that day, the Lord thundered loudly at the Philistines and threw them into such confusion that they were defeated by Israel. Israel's soldiers left Mizpah, pursued the Philistines, and killed them as far as Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a rock and set it up between Mizpah and Shin, and he named it Ebenezer, Rock of Help, and said, Until now, the Lord has helped us. And the power of the Philistines was crushed, so they didn't come to Israel's territory again. And the Lord restrained the Philistines as long as Samuel lived. And the cities between Ekron and Gath, which the Philistines took from Israel, were returned to Israel. And Israel recovered the territory controlled by the cities of the Philistines. And there was also peace between Israel and the Amorites. Now, up until this moment, Samuel's words to Israel, who had been unfaithful for 20 years, was, if you are returning to the Lord, then what? Put away your Ashtaroths, go into your tents, clear out those things that you worship that are in competition with God, and turn to the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your being. And if you do, the Lord will defeat the Philistines. But here's this word. If. What's amazing is this. Just listen to this for a second. I didn't ask you to turn here, but verse 7, listen to what happens. When the Philistines heard that the Israelites had gathered to Mizpah, the Philistine rulers came to attack Israel. And the Israelites heard about the Philistines' plans and were afraid of them. And the Israelites said to Samuel, "Don't turn a deaf ear to us. Don't stop crying to the Lord for us and ask him to save us from the Philistines." Wait, pause, time out. What did Samuel tell Israel? If you return to the Lord with all your heart, soul, and being, the Lord will defeat the Philistines. Can I just bring this whole story into our world today to help this really make sense for all of us? No sooner will you make this statement, "Lord, I am on your team and I'm going to serve you with all my heart, all my soul, all my being." When you make that statement, you raise your flag for Christ, and guess what that also tells your enemy? That's my target. Up until now, I had him or her going back and forth, a little bit for God, a little bit for me, and quite frankly, I wasn't too concerned about them. But now, they've gone on record. They put their flag up and said, "I'm serving the Lord alone." Okay, can I tell you, the minute you make that statement, count on it. Count on it. Let me say it again. Count on it. Your enemy is coming for you. Why? Because he wants to cripple you from returning back to the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your being. So he will throw circumstances, he'll throw fear, he'll throw division, he'll throw doubt, he'll throw whatever he can into your circumstance to get you from going back to the Lord. Because you then said, "Lord, I'm coming back to you." And he's like, "Ah, good. So now I know where you're at, you're making your statement." And how do we know that? Because it said, as soon as the Philistines heard, they came to attack. What did Israel do? When the Israelites heard the enemy's coming for us, they had a very natural reaction. They got afraid. They got afraid. They got potentially crippled. Right? They got afraid. Natural reaction, guys. It's okay, we get afraid of things. And I'm not saying fear is not what it is, but can I tell you, when you turn to trust the Lord, count on the enemy to come, and count on the enemy to try to drive you back into a sin trap, and count on the enemy to tell you this little white lie, which is a very dangerous lie, and it's not too little. The Lord cannot help you in this battle. Maybe God helped you before, but this battle, he can't help you in. This one you went too far. This one you were too unfaithful for too long. This one the enemy is stronger than you in. Just hang it up. Just hang it up. Go back to your tent. Retreat. Good thought. God loves you. No big deal. But don't try to serve God alone. That's the enemy's lie. Literally, no sooner had Israel recommitted to serving the Lord, the Philistines were on the attack, and genuine fear had gripped the courage of the men of Israel. And I thought about this. Fear is such a simple word, but it is so powerful. Think about it. Fear. But fear cripples us. Fear discourages us. Fear drives us into retreat. Fear is so powerful, it can stop entire armies from marching towards an objective. Fear can cripple the minds of the greatest strategists in the world because they're afraid of what might happen or what if. Fear is powerful. Because fear also opens up the door for other lies to come in. Fear robs you of your peace. It robs you of your sleep. It robs you of your passion. It robs you of your purpose. It robs you. It robs you. And when it robs you, it will absolutely get you paralyzed and crippled. And so for any of you that have been fear gripped, and I could put both my hands up, and if I wouldn't fall to the ground, my feet up too. Okay? Let me tell you, if you've been fear gripped, don't beat yourself up. Your answer is what Samuel said. Return to the Lord, serve Him alone. Let me put it in my words. Run to the Lord. Grab hold of Him in the fear. Run to Him and say, Lord, I need You. And I'm throwing everything I got with You. I'm returning to You. I don't want to go back there. I need You more than anything else in this world. I'm going to serve You alone. The enemy's marching up the hill. It's coming after you. Fear's coming, crippling you. Discouragement, circumstances. Oh, I got to block this out. I need to run toward God here. Run toward Him. Don't let go of Him, because here's what's getting ready to happen. God is getting ready to do something. Well, how do I know? That's the fear of the enemy. How do you know? I'm going to tell you how you know. Because God told Samuel, if they're returning to Me, I'll defeat them. Remember it said in Scripture, this is a couple weeks ago, it said that everything Samuel spoke, they knew that the words of Samuel were true because God had given them to them. Which meant if Samuel said, if you're returning to the Lord, He'll defeat the Philistines. Can I tell you, if you're returning back to the Lord, He'll defeat your enemies. Well, how do I know? God is not a liar. He is true. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's getting ready to defeat your enemies. Now, you may not see it. You may not even know how He can do it. But He's getting ready to. So now let's see how He did it. And then you're going to see how He's going to do it in your circumstance right now. Ready? It says right here that God was preparing to... This is an awesome word. Thunder. Thunder. We read in Scripture that it says as the Philistines were coming up the hill, it said God thundered. Now, you know what that word thundered literally translates at? The word thundered literally means this. God did a mighty expression from on high. Now, I don't know if it was literally thunder. Okay, I don't know if it was literally a crack of thunder or if it was some kind of sign in the sky that just got everyone on the Philistine side spooked. But here's what I think. Okay, now when I say I think, just hear me out for a moment. I'm not even as much as impressed in the thundering. I'm impressed in what the thundering did. Because as we've been learning in our early morning discussion, God has always been doing the miraculous. So when God does something miraculous, that shouldn't surprise me. What should surprise me is what happens when the miraculous breaks in on our earth. And here's what happens. We read it in the Scripture and it says, and when God thundered, the Philistines were sent into disarray. That's not what happened though. Do you know what that word is? When God thundered, the Philistines stumbled. Is that not what happens to us? When fear gets into our circumstance, we stumble. But now look what happens here. When God gets in your circumstance, He thunders and your enemy stumbles. Your enemy is stricken with God fear. And all of a sudden, they are not as powerful as they thought they were. And here's what's so amazing. All of these weak men who for 20 years were unfaithful to God, for 20 years were the farthest thing that they could even think of, all of a sudden we read in Scripture that those men of God raised up in courage and started running down the hill toward their enemy and killed them and took back the territories and drove them out of the territory and pushed them away from the territories. What men? You mean those unfaithful, cowardly men? Yes, those same men. You could be that unfaithful coward right now in your tent with a bunch of idols, worshiping them before you're worshiping God. And can I tell you, God can still see you as a hero if you're ready to return to Him. He can still move in your circumstance and say, I can use you in a critical time for a heroic action. You see, I'm looking at heroes in the room. And you may be in your tent doing all the wrong things right now, and I still see what God sees. He sees potential heroes. You see, when God thundered, the enemy stumbled. Samuel was a hero. Samuel was a hero because he was being groomed for that time. The children of Israel were heroes. They were far from the hero story, right? But they were heroes being groomed for that time. What changed? I'm asking you. What changed? What changed? They all turned their hearts back. That's the only thing that changed. They were still the same men, the same number, the same weapons, the same leader in Samuel. One thing changed. Their hearts. Their hearts returned back to the Lord. They were serving the Lord with everything they had, and in their dire desperation, God was prepared to do a thunderous act. He did a great and mighty expression. Can I tell you, if you're on the side of God, you serve a bold God. But a bold God is looking for bold men and women who will go down the mountain when they know they're serving the Lord with all their heart, soul, and being. He's looking for bold action because he's a bold God. You mean loud action? No. I'm saying bold action. That even when fear grips your heart and you see the Philistines running up, you say, despite what I see my enemy doing, I know my God can just do one great and mighty expression and he'll cause them to thunder. And when they thunder, I'm in action for the glory of God. Okay. 20 years they were living like that. But here's what happened. When God thundered, heroes responded. The enemy stumbled and the glory of God was manifest in an entire nation. And they were all reborn by His Spirit. But here's the last part of the story. A small, insignificant moment. But it meant everything to this story. Now the battle's over. Samuel goes over, grabs a pile of stones, and he says, this is our Ebenezer. What does it mean? Literally, we know in Scripture, it means stone of help. What does this mean? Why are we reading this? Okay, we got a victory. Amen, hallelujah. And then Simon goes over and grabs a memorial stone and says, hey, Israel, look it. I'm placing this at this spot to remind us, stone of help. Okay, great. Thank you, Samuel. I appreciate that. What does this mean? Ebenezer. What does that mean? Then he says this. He says, guys, until now, God has helped us. It's a really poor English translation. I'm going to break that down, how the Hebrew has it in a second. But if I go back 20 years, you know who else put up a stone and called it Ebenezer? Eli's two sons. Hophni and Phinehas, who were not serving the Lord as they should. They were wicked and they were lying in the courts of the Lord. And they're getting ready to go out to battle. And they grab a stone and they say, hey, Israel, we're getting ready to go fight our enemy. And we're setting up a stone to remind us, God is our Ebenezer. He's our help. And they ran out to battle and they were all killed. What changed? The heart. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, did not have a heart to serve the Lord. You can't put on Christian clothes. You can't put on God clothes. You can't put on spiritual clothes and say, God is with me. God knows what's going on in your heart. God is going to thunder for the person who is serving the Lord alone, with all his heart, all his soul, all his being. Is this not the words of Christ? Serve the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your being? What do you mean, Lord? What about all the other things? I mean, I see what's going on in your heart. You can put up memorial stones, you can have all the clothes and have everything else, but I know what's going on here. And I only thunder for the man or woman who's serving me out of here, not out of something else. And so he makes this statement. He says, God has helped us into this moment. But you know, that sounds like a real negative thing. Like, if you read it, you'd be like, what does Samuel mean? Like, oh, okay, thanks God. You bailed us out. Now you helped us. Okay, putting up a stone. It's not what he said. This is what the translation in Hebrew literally means. It means, Israel, God just delivered you at this moment. But guess what? You're getting ready to face future moments. And God was your answer. You see, Samuel was the hero, in a sense. But Samuel's telling Israel, it wasn't me. You asked me to pray to God. I did. You asked me to give sacrifice. I did. You asked me for counsel. I gave. But I didn't deliver you. And you didn't deliver you. It was God who thundered because you put your heart to the Lord. So I'm taking this stone and I'm setting it to remind you that today, God is your only help. He is your source of help. He's your rock of help. In this circumstance and in any future circumstance, you may have a lot of great heroes from this point forward, but God is your only help. He's a bold God. He's looking for bold heroes. And now he gave you a bold stone to remind you. He's your source of help. Nothing else. Nothing else. So let's wrap this all up. Let's bring it all together. Have you been robbed? Have you been robbed before? I'm telling you in real life. Have you ever been robbed, broken into, stuff stolen? Out of your car, out of your house, wherever? You feel violated. And you ask the question, will I ever get it back? And if you ever fill out a police report, the chances are they say is, don't count on it. It's gone. Right? Let me tell you something. You may have been robbed, and you may have contributed to your own robbery because you left the windows down, the car unlocked, and the keys in the ignition. Hello? Sometimes we've done that. That's called sin. When you're living in sin, you left the keys in the ignition, you rolled the windows down, you unlocked the door, and you said, hey, enemy, come take whatever you want. I'm living like a fool right now. And the enemy comes over and says, oh, thank you very much. Flea market for free. Thank you. Okay. Can I tell you something, though? Even if you've been robbed because you've made poor decisions, God has a way for those who love Him with all their heart, soul, and being to restore to you which you foolishly gave up. Israel foolishly gave up for 20 years all of their territories. And the Philistines gladly took it. But look at what the scripture tells us in the end of 1 Samuel chapter 7. That God not only gave Israel back all the territories they lost, but gave back more territory. And oh, by the way, the Philistines who don't like you, God will restrain them from coming into your camp. That's what it said. It said, as long as Samuel lived, the Philistines were restrained by who? Samuel? No. Israel? No. The rock of their help. God. God restrained the Philistines. And there's one last little tag. And it says, and Israel had peace with the Amorites. That was another evil tribe of people. We're not God lovers. But God even made it to where they weren't going to be at war with Israel. Oh, but I have enemies everywhere. Yeah, and God can even tell your enemies, you're not going to bother them right now. You get in there, you get in their neck of the woods, I thunder. When I thunder, you stumble, and my heroes come marching down the hill. Hallelujah. And they know, I did it. God, I did it. Okay, so here's what all this means. It's time to serve the Lord your God alone. It's time to serve the Lord your God alone. Let me say it one more time. It is time to serve the Lord your God alone. Now let's repeat it all together. It is time to serve the Lord your God alone. What about the Baals? Alone. What about the Astros? What about my career? What about what I want? What about my job? What about my future? What about all the things I want to do in my life? What about all my passions and my goals and my dreams and what about my kids and my family? Serve the Lord alone. He cares about your dreams. He cares about your passions. He cares about your family. He cares about your kids. He knows what your wants are. He knows what you need. Serve Him alone.
Hallelujah.
Don't be double-minded. Don't allow rivals to get into your life. Don't allow your affections to get separated. Don't allow anything in your life. Listen, I'm going to be so blunt. Do not, I beg you, if you never hear one more message I ever preach ever again, you say, I am never coming back to this church. That's fine. That's fine. Okay? Listen. Do not ever let anything or anyone share in your affection with God. If you do, it or they will become an idol. And they will rob you. It may take a whole lifetime for them to rob you. But they will rob you. And the Philistines will come and they'll clean out your car. And when they do, you've got nothing to show for it. But even if that all happens in your life, and I pray it doesn't, you can still return to the Lord alone. He can still do great and mighty works in your life. He can still raise you up for a time such as this. He can still restore things into your life. Unfortunately, we don't have to go through all that stuff, but we choose to. That wasn't God's choice in the matter. So, serve Him alone. Don't let anything compete with your affections. Don't be double-minded. Don't be tossed on the seas of uncertainty. Fix your heart on Him. When I said that God is looking for heroes today, I believe they're sitting in this room right now. And you may not think you are a hero. And can I tell you, Israel didn't think they were heroes either. But when the time came, they went down the mountain. Know that you could be the man or woman that God wants to use to demonstrate His glory. He'll cause your enemies to stumble. He's a bold God. He's looking for bold people. He gave you a reminder that He's a bold stone. Don't ever forget, it wasn't in your might. It wasn't what was in your pocket. It wasn't what was up here in your cranium. It wasn't even in your best of intentions. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your being, it was He who is the source of your help. And if you don't ever forget that, you're going to be on a good course in life to not be crippled by the fears and by the distractions of a world that's trying to rob you from that. Turn to the Lord and serve Him.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnyan was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.